should say anything about it anyway, and I think it applies to all of us here as a personal attack. Please, if that's way,
don't start on apologetic notes, sir. That's true.
Mr. Chairman, I was concerned that perhaps the last session might have appeared that way.
That was the last session. This is the new session. Let's get on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the direction. This seat is under administration, and as I understand it, the new CEO has just been appointed, which is interesting. So, Mr. Ndlovu, you'll be dealing with the responses to a large extent, and you've been administrator now for just over 2 years. The year we're looking at was you were in control for the full year, as I understand it. And so there shouldn't be an issue of issues, the inherited issues during that current year. So what I'd like to draw your attention to is the comment from the AG that the audit committee and internal audit function were functional, using the same word twice, but management were not responsive. And consequently, the issues of that led to the qualification. Then, in your report on page 6, you report, and I'm sorry, I would have thought that you would be more specific, but in your report you make the following comment: just about all members of the previous management team left the organization during the period under review, some through voluntary resignations, and others as a result of disciplinary processes. Now, it seems to me that you didn't have control during that year, from the comments of the audit committee and your own comments about management. Can you comment about that? Were you in control?
Thank you, Honourable Member, and good morning once again to the members. I'm not quite sure how to answer the question. I do believe I was in control of the situation. I think like any head of any organization, one works through a team of executives and other managers, and one relies on regular interaction with them to get reports, to understand where things are going. And to an extent, one was assured that things were happening until one started picking up later on toward the end, which was then confirmed by the Auditor General during the time of the audit. And in instances where there was clear cases of either inability to do things and or lack of intention to do things, then action was taken in those instances. But I do believe that I was in control of the organization.
Thank you, Mr. Mandela. If you were in control, and if the audit committee and internal audit were doing their job, then it wouldn't have been that you were thinking everything was okay towards the end. The indications are that in fact either the AG is wrong and the audit, internal audit and audit committee were not functioning properly, and therefore you weren't aware and no one was bringing these things to your attention, or in fact they are correct. Management was not responsive, and you were part of that management.
Well, through yourself, Chairperson, I think context becomes important, if I may, because we were coming from an organization, LGCTA at the time, having had to be placed under administration, was coming from a certain kind of a path and was in a certain state, and that state was almost complete dysfunction. So I don't think it was either not being aware or not being in control of the situation, and I'm sure later on when the Chairperson of the Audit Committee himself has an opportunity to comment, he will speak for them, I can speak for them. But I think all of us were watching the situation, and one, we're not saying everything is perfect, but we're seeing what steps we are doing and what the impact of that was to move the organization forward. There was a one specific example I can make about the internal audit, is that when we arrived, It has been and still is an outsourced function to a one of the big firms. When we arrived, we were completely unhappy with the service that the internal auditors were performing, and we engaged the service provider with a view of terminating their contract. Through engagement, they agreed to change the team, and they changed the team and they brought on a new team, and that team then started. But was again starting from a very low base in terms of the information and the things that were there. But that was a concrete step that was moving us forward, and then they started doing the things. And even as they were doing so, naturally we were still seeing that's what they're doing, but we could see that they are trying to move us forward. The same with management. Through that pilot, it is the pilot where, as I reflect in my own report, some of the managers of the sector were still there. I mean, this was the first year. Most of them left a few months into and the last one towards the end. So they were still in the process. So we were still dealing with, in some instances, some of those issues of not non-cooperation or slow cooperation, whatever, which as and when they would be picked up and reported to myself as administrator, I would then intervene and make sure that things are moving. So I think the point I'm trying to make is that to get to even this not so very good picture, coming from where we came from, a complete disclaimer where there was absolutely nothing and absolutely no way of accounting for anything, to at least being able to package things, notwithstanding still having weaknesses, I think is what I mean when I say we were in control of the situation and we must understand where we were coming from.
I do battle then with the AG's report on internal audit and audit and your report, your statement. But let that go. One of the main reasons for qualification were that the LDG seeker did not maintain complete and adequate records, reconciliations, or discretionary grants. Now, surely, we had that discussion at the earlier interviews. It's a pretty basic thing, keeping records. Surely that would have been something, even the internal audit that you were unhappy with, would have picked up and brought your attention very early in your term as administrator. If they did, what did you do about it? If they didn't, then I really need to challenge the auditor general.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Once again, just to recap, when we arrived, the CETA had just come or had just the previous financial year received a disclaimer. There was a lot of things to deal with. There was literally nothing in terms of people that you could rely on to provide certain information. We then started on that path, and at the same time as just arriving, we of course had to oversee an audit of that year that was ending then, which was the first time that we oversaw that was of the year before. And then we were trying also to then see the things during this period of this financial year. So indeed, with that background and with the issue of the internal audit function having itself been dysfunctional, as I said, with the team that was there before, and then having been changed, and then starting, but with a focus of fixing the financial management side of things first and foremost, because that's where problems were happening. It took them time, I'm sure, and I said the chairperson will also reflect, it took them time. I think for the better part of the first year of this year, they were not even auditing performance information. They were trying to assist us to look at everything else. It was only towards the end when we then said, either way, it's important to focus on this, and we are trying as much as we can, but we must also start looking into performance information. So indeed, it took time for the internal audit, the new team in this first year, to start to assist us with performance information, which is what then, which is at the point at which we then started picking up some of the weaknesses around the record keeping and all of those things.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, can I move on to the question of the 552,000 rand in penalties and interest that were paid to SARS, because apparently, according to the AG, PAYE returns were submitted late, and that the consequence of that, as some of us will know, is an automatic 10% penalty plus interest, depending on how late it is. How did that happen? I mean, when we were briefed by the AG, it seemed it happened virtually every single month. We're talking about the year under review, which is the year that you were there. How is it possible that those kind of penalties build up? And I mean, it's a huge amount of money. And apparently no action was taken timeously. That's one question. The other related to that is, who was responsible for that? And what were the consequences for that person? Not just the clerk, because really it's a very low-level skill that's required to do PAYE returns, but also the management involved.
Thank you once again, Mamba. I start off by taking that ultimately, as the head of the organization, as the accounting authority, as it were, I take full responsibility for everything that happened during this year, that which you are asking included. A direct answer to your question is that indeed it was happening almost every month, and it is one of those matters that, I would at all times, as and when it happens, confront very seriously with the first and then later the second, I will explain, CFOs who were in the organization, and I would make it clear to them that it's unacceptable, that we should not be having, these are some of the basic things that we should not still be having to deal with, including other things of managing invoices and all of those things. And unfortunately, as it became clear, in both instances, I shall explain, as it became clear that it was not going to change, then I took a decision in each of those cases to terminate the employment or the contract of those responsible CFOs. That is what the action that I took.
Mr. Chairman, it's useful to come in second, because thank you for taking responsibility, and it very much either. And indeed, Mr. Chairman, that action was taken which terminated any possible continuation of that performance is also encouraging. But was there any attempt made to try and recover the penalties that had been incurred as a result of gross negligence?
In all honesty, Honourable Member, no. The advice that one received, as well as one's own analysis, was that it would cost a lot of time and money. I'm not saying the amount is insignificant. No amount of public funds is ever insignificant. But it would cost a lot of time, effort, and money. And the focus, my focus as administrator, remained on ensuring that I take action to stop it continuing, and then I move on to fix and all the other good work that we have done since. So that's the call that we made. It may not have been the right one, but that's the call that we made. Thank you.
Again, thank you for being direct and honest. I do appreciate that. Thank you very much indeed. There was an investigation initiated, I think, by yourself into supply chain. Has that come to an end? Has the report come through? What were the outcomes of that investigation?
Indeed, there was. When we arrived, maybe 3 months later or so, we then initiated an investigation. It was concluded, I can't remember exactly, but it was concluded by around November, December of the same year. So it took about 6 to 8 months or so. All of the disciplinary cases that we then initiated, as well as many others that we would have, but the people, upon seeing what was coming, resigned and left the organization, where as a result of that, there were serious supply chain irregularities dating back to a couple of years before that. We do have a report, and it was quite conclusive in most of the instances. There were instances where it was not that conclusive, but had suggested further probing. But most of those people, in fact, just about all the people affected by that, as the report says elsewhere, have left the organization either voluntarily or as a result of dismissals. There were, let me just be sure, there were about 4 dismissals and others left of their own, but as a result of that investigation.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The guilty, for whatever, employees have departed. But in terms of supply chain, there's usually a third party. Did the investigation come to any conclusions about collusion of third parties? And if so, did we then start criminal investigations?
There were a few instances where it pointed to possible collusion with third parties. Most of them, because of the confined scope of the investigation itself, which was an internal investigation by the CETA, could not be that conclusive in terms of approving from the outside of the service provider. A lot of them, as I said, a lot of them were things that were in the past. So all the service providers, and most of them were concentrated in one unit within the organization, as well as a few of trained providers that are core business of the CETA. But in terms of the services to the organization, they were concentrated in one unit. I can confirm that as of that point, there was never an attempt either by the service provider to even continue, not that it would ever have been a possibility, to even continue trying to solicit any business from the organization. So they stopped doing any business with the organization. As I said, the employees left in some instances, in at least two or three, I would have to get the correction there. We did actually lay criminal charges against the employees of the CETA who then left, and so they were outside the scope of the CETA. We did lay criminal charges, unfortunately, as I have seen elsewhere also, that not much has come out of that, but on our part we did do that. There were very few, both as a result of the investigation, but even outside the investigation, even on other things that were not covered by the investigation, but that we have been doing by the AG, where we thought that there was some wrongdoing by service providers, where we then, you know, sought to and successfully terminated the arguments and did not make any further payments beyond what we found when it came.
Mr. Chairman, I was concerned, and I made a note, but my apologies, I didn't make reference to a page, so, I'm sure that it was it. That one of the major issues which resulted in, or made a major impact on the collapse of the CETA in terms of its audit performance, was the failure of a computer that was used by the then CEO. So my question is, I mean, I find it astounding that there's an organization such as this could have such high risk with IT that one computer failing caused such a problem. But what is the position in terms of the current status with IT?
Thanks once again. I also was similarly astounded. It was completely inconceivable to me that something like that could happen. When we came into the organization, the IT services were completely outsourced. There was no employee of the organization who was an IT manager or whatever other level. There was a resource from the outsourced service provider. They were providing desktop support infrastructure. I think they were assisting on connectivity as well as the owning and looking after the financial management systems that we use. I was unhappy about their service almost from day one. It was one of those cases, and there were more than one in this sector, of service providers who had always been on autopilot, who were not being managed at all, who, you know, were just doing as they please. So I then engaged them and tried to understand how they work, and I was expressing my unhappiness. Until one day, one of the things that they were used to doing, they tried to, or they allowed to happen under my watch, and then I called them in and I terminated the contract. Which then meant that there was a little bit of a gap where I needed to get a resource in. I must clarify that I terminated their contract on everything else they were doing except where I couldn't without a different ban on the financial management systems, IT system that we have. Then I brought in another resource, and since then we started building. Putting on, actually in this, the program that is in this annual report under review is the one that we put in place and adopted when we came. As you can see, it starts to build IT capacity. We brought in resources that we have now started. One of the achievements in that regard, I know it's not part of your question, sir, is that we have now even moved the CETA to online submission of workplace skills plans, which had never been the case before as part of this building the IT platforms and all of that, and a lot of work is still coming into that. So yes, part of the witness back to the question directly, part of the witness is that one, I guess from their own perspective, that former CEO to whom that happened, I wouldn't know why something like that can ever be allowed to happen. I mean, I think for most of us, even for your own personal use, you keep a backup device somewhere, even at home, you know, even if it's not part of the IT systems as well. So it was completely shocking, but it's something that will not happen moving forward because we are fixing up everything to do with IT in the organization and we have begun. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The we were supplied with an executive summary drafted by Mr. Nkita, the new CFO, and details the AG issues and also what the status is. And Mr. Chairman, it's all completed. I think there are one or two that aren't. Now, I'm very encouraged by that. I'm not being critical, but you know, if one compares it with our earlier discussion, we're 4 or 5 years down the road, nothing's happening. It's very refreshing to have the kind of responses that we've just had. But this is what I've done: terminated the services. No excuses about I've got to worry about HR and the CDMA and you know all the other excuses that can come up. So I'm very encouraged, but I have to take this at face value, and I hope that this is the last time we interview in my term in this committee the LG CETA, because it would seem that the AG should be quite happy with the current audit. So, Mr. Nkita, I know you're new. I'm not sure when you were appointed. When were you appointed?
I joined the LG CETA at the end of November. I'm seconded from Deloitte Consulting.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I didn't switch my mic off, apologies for that, I didn't mess up, but I have to make my son is an ex-Deloitte man, so I have a favoritism towards Deloitte, but he is now first-hand bank, so is that a commercial, should I not say that? But there you go. So you're not an employee there?
Yes, I'm not an employee.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, thank you. That does kind of, I hope so that you have a plan to fix that. That whilst consultants are sometimes unnecessary, it shouldn't be a long-term solution. Yeah, you're nodding your head, so I don't need an answer. What is the solution?
Thank you. We had initially appointed them to. We had to appoint them to come and assist us to fix this that we are now accounting for, because we realized at the end of this that we were still not moving with as much speed as we ought to be doing to fix this, which we have come to fix. So we asked them to come, and indeed within a very short space of time, and initially it was for a very short space of time, because we accepted exactly that we could not have consultants endlessly. Then what we saw was that actually as much as it's important to do this now, for instance, the initial contract had been meant to end at the end of May, just enough time to assist us to clean up. But it became clear that you also could not then have them at the end of May, because that's only up to the submission of the annual financial statements to the Auditor General. You still have to have that capacity for at least the period of the audit until the audit is at least. And of course, with the issues of the landscape of the CETA not being clear, awaiting direction from the department and all of that, you also, on the other hand, that will attract people of this caliber at this level, for essentially, if we were to do it now, a contract of less than 12 months, because you would not be able to employ them beyond the license, the current license, and with uncertainty about what happens beyond, you then really have those humans. So we took a view to say that once we, and we're accepting that in the next few months, issues of the, and when I do this, I'm pointing to the department behind me, issues of the of the landscape will become clear. The department will soon issue, the minister will soon issue initially for discussion and then conclude on what's going to happen with NSDSO and the city landscape beyond that. Then towards the end of this year, we will then know what is happening. Then we start, I've already had discussions with the incoming CEO, and it will be part of my handover to the new board. Then we start having discussions about recruiting a permanently employed CFO of the CETA, assuming that the CETA will exist beyond March 2016, and then Mr. McKee's handing over to that person. So that process will start as soon as we are clearer about the landscape. At the moment, our view is to at least keep them long enough for us to be clear about that, and then start actioning plan of phasing them out. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much to your indulgence and to Mr. Mandela. I hand over to other members, if that's the right term, but my job's done. Thank you.
That was quick. Okay. All right. Colleagues, any follow-up questions? And don't worry, next time, I don't go running chairs outside. You'll sit outside as we engage others and then... Okay. Any follow-ups? If you could shove your mic. Yeah, sure. Any follow-ups? Comrade Kuno? Comrade
Nasser? Thank you, Chairperson. The President this year at SONA, he talked about consultants, that we should get away with consultants. And you're saying, what you're thinking of is not right, we're going to have consultants. And we're going to have open-ending contracts with them, because we're going to have to account to Parliament on the money that they have given us. These people that you have contracted, Deloitte, and are they transferred in skills? Who are they training exactly? Is there anybody in the department? You said the internal audit was dysfunctional. Therefore, that's why you, it's leadership from your right, and you said let's employ other people to come and do this job. So when they're coming to do something, it means there's Kuno somewhere there who's been trained to take over. How sure are you that they're transferring skills, and how, because we can't be dealing with the consultants. I mean, asking him questions, I mean, has nothing to do with public service contracts and all that. You have contracted him to do somebody else's job who's been paid to do what he's coming to do. Are you saying you don't have anything as far as internal audit is concerned? And, you know, when you were introducing yourself, somebody said he or she is doing that. I just forgot because there's a lot of people and, yeah. For now, Chairperson. And, you know, okay. Chair, can I ask all the questions that I had? Or we'll come back later. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. The page 46 of the report, 46 and 47, there's quite a lot of... I appreciate the effort of the administration, Chair.
Am I going right, or is it true that this report is not reader-friendly?
It's not, Chair. Even if us with four eyes, major problem.
Okay.
But Chair, maybe... Before you go to page 46, so can I just take you back to page 38? The administrator is under the heading the accounting authority and executive committee meetings on the right-hand side, as you go down, of page 38, on the right-hand side of page 38, accounting authority and executive committee meetings. The administrator is the accounting authority of the LCC, and there has been no executive committee meetings during this period of administration. Now, is that a reason of there being no executive committee, or is it a simple case of it was not deemed to be necessary to meet? Because that links me up to the other questions. I just need to get that clarity first to the reasons why. because it links to the issue of the transfer, I think, at the level as well.
Another topic.
Now, it says on page 147, item 34 on the leadership. Despite numerous interventions by the administrator and the external audit effort to improve the internal control environment and enhance the audit outcome, management did not adequately execute recommendations to implement internal controls, objectives, processes, and responsibilities relating to numerous areas of financial administration and performance management. This also included a lack of implementation of the plan to address internal control deficiencies, while the plan did also not cover all audit recommendations. And I can go on reading this. Actually, I'm asking this because there's an incoming CEO, the administrator, I would imagine, is taking his bets. I get a sense that during the term of the administration, it became a one-man show. And I worry, in terms of continuity now, how effective this administration was if it was only limited to the activities of the administrator alone. Because then it would mean we run the risk of falling back, going back to where we were. If we're operating in a vacuum alone, where does this place us? We already have a seconded CFO, whilst I appreciate the work that's done, I don't like consultants, not in specific terms, places, but the concept in general. So, where are we in this transition? If this is, like, I mean, here, item 37, item 36, no, let me go to 35, Chair. Management did not implement controls over daily monthly processing and reconciling transactions. This resulted in considerable effort at their end to correct financial statements, which still did not yield the desired result of a clean audit outcome. 35, although there has been a slight improvement in the control environment as a result of intervention by the administrator when compared to the prior year, numerous findings and internal control deficiencies that existed in the prior year have been identified. This also points to inadequate implementation of the action plan to address audit recommendations. This was further aggravated by personnel not being accountable and lacking necessary skills and competencies in their areas of responsibility. So I worry, Chair, that this entire exercise of administrator could potentially have been a futile exercise. I'm not downplaying the intervention, but I'm looking at how far reaching it was in terms of connecting with the establishment of the theatre so that the exit of the administrator is continuing.
Okay. All right. Commissioner.
Thank you, Chair. Just two questions, Chair. If memory serves me, the administrator in his opening remarks indicated that certain people's employment was consciously terminated because they were deemed or found to be guilty. Others, I think your words were, saw it coming and left. I'm talking about those that saw it coming and left. Do you have any indication if they are still in the employ of the state? Because our intention is to blacklist and get them out of the system. We said that earlier on. You can't see something coming in one department and then run away to another department. And unless we start asking you guys the hard questions and rooting it out, I think Parliament is going to take them for granted. So those that saw it coming and left, if you can't give it to us now, sir, can you give us the names of these are the people that left? Even if you don't know where they got to, we will make sure that we find out if they are in the system. If you can tell us, it's going to help us. But it's not going to happen in our term that somebody is going to leave one department and run to another department because she saw it coming and left. If you can, you can respond to that one. But let's go to page 60, Administrator, of your annual report. And there are just a few worrying trends that I'm raising. And I'm not sure if Mr. Leaf covered them. If he did cover them, it's fine. Your administrative expenses.
What page is that?
Page 60, yeah.
Okay.
60.
All right.
Okay. Advertising doubles from 4 million to 8 million. Your workshops triple from 1 million rand to 3 million rand. These are all in 12 months. Consultancy fees went up by 600% or 800% from 2 million to 9 million rand. Your legal fees from 100,000 rand, your legal fees went to 3 million rand. So those are the trends that are worrying me, sir. In the legal fees department, for instance, what was the reason to move from 100 to 300? That's the first question. And secondly, when you decided to take on those legal matters, how many of them did you win? You see, to go and defend something in court and lose it because it's not your money has become a trend in government. That people just take anybody to court, and when you ask the question, you've lost it. I'm not sure if I've looked here. You probably find there's also contingent liabilities of potential claims. So there's the whole issue around the competency of our state to defend is a problem. And just to put another rider onto that one, sir, these little people that you pay, I'm sorry to say it, whether they're white or whether they're black. I'm sorry to say, because see, we're talking about transformation here. If you're moving from 100,000 to 3 million and you're giving to high people, then it's a double whammy to us. So if you could respond to those kind of questions to us. I'm not sure if they have it on the fingertips. I'm not fussy if they give us in writing within 7 days, if it's maybe too detailed. But it's too difficult not to ask questions on those matters that affect us so much. If they can respond, they can respond. I'll leave it in a chair and take a second by the
way. Yeah. And maybe the response to the first three, the one on consultants and what's meetings around, meetings, skills transfer, and the issue around officials and the expenses that we quoted on P60.
Thank you, sir. The issue of consultants is one that always has and still continues to rather even me in terms of the amount of money that we spend on consultants. I came to a determination that if the amount of work that had to be done has to be done within a reasonable time, and the first time CETA was put under administration, it was for a period of 12 months, that you then could not avoid getting external assistance to deal with specific things. I'll make an example. In general, the CETA at that time did not had very, very little capacity. We continue to have capacity challenges in the sense of skills and other things, like other CETA, but even before you get to that, there were very few people to do any work. The finance unit at the CETA, at the time that I arrived, the most senior person who for a long time was working in that unit was an officer, a finance officer, and then there were two or three other administrative people, and you had to move the CETA from a disclaimer to a normal situation. You almost could not avoid getting consultants to come and assist. The same with legal services, legal fees. When you take on the role of administration, for want of a better expression and without wanting to sound nasty, but there's a lot of cleaning up that you have to do. There's a lot of legal work, both in terms of contracts and service provided to the organization, as well as in terms of labor relations matter. I will speak more on that when I get to it. So the plan is not to run on them permanently. We now, and it's only in the last, when did you start in February? Since February this year, that we now, and the rest of them, including the CEO and other executives who are back at the office, as an example, have a full executive team that will support the CEO, that must help to lead the organization. And they are now starting to take over those roles, and we are now not still planning to, we are now phasing out all the, I think beyond July now, the only consultants that will be left in the sense that we are talking about here, are these ones, the reason I explained earlier, who themselves will be phased out as the employed ones in the finance unit, who themselves will be phased out in a few months thereafter. But we had to bring them in.
The ones who left at Deloitte with the CEO?
CFO.
CFO.
Is the CFO, but it's also for a few other resources in the office. I'll come to that when I speak to the skills. So I was just trying to explain the fact that you have to bring them at the time, but the intention is not to rely on and to have them running the organization. I'll come back to that. And we do fully support what the president said about not relying on consultants. I was at the SALGA Members Assembly when he again made the point, and we fully support that. I think members saying was the issue about executive committee meetings. My understanding, it could have been wrong when I put it together, was that one refers to the accounting authority, the board, and the ESCO of the board specifically. And of course, because there was no board, you then would not have an ESCO of the board because the administrator is the accounting authority. That specific paragraph. The administrator was working with a team of people, and the executive of sorts has reflected also close to the same page that you pointed to. So the paragraph you read refers to the executive committee of the board, but there was a team of executives that were forming part of the administrator's team. No, it was not a one-man show, again, Member Seva. It was not. It could not have been. There were instances where there were very few people who were LGCTA employees who could do their work, and it required us over the last 2 years, and I'll again speak to that, including the issue of advertising, to start from scratch building the capacity, employing people and recruiting. But all the teams, so let's use a finance as an example. There were always, as I said, albeit low level, albeit few, but there were always employees of the CETA employed in the finance unit when we arrived, and even over time, we've recruited some. So you had a finance team. When it came to the point of being forced to try to bring on the Lord, you then started hiring the LGCTA employees with the Deloitte consultants who were there to assist for that specific period of time. And of course, they themselves were very helpful in helping us to identify even other roles and in terms of how we structure finance unit. But consistently, and I'm sure Mr. Mkhize will also reflect on this, each Deloitte person who's performing a function is working with an LGCTA person and transferring the skills. That's why even beyond this extension that I spoke about in May, they will not continue as a full complement of Deloitte that had come in November to do the task, because a lot of the things have been done now and they've managed to extend capacity some of the LGCTA staff. So you already start phasing them out. I refer to going all the way for the CFO who is at that level, but some of his lieutenants below him will already start being phased out already in the coming months. So I'm trying to answer the question of continuity, of skill transfer, of working with LGCTA people, such as, and the other good thing, specifically about continuity, is that Ukugu, who has now come as a CEO, would have had, by the time I leave, would have had at least 2 to 3 months in my presence working together to ensure that there is nothing that after I leave she will not be sure. And of course, exactly as I said, the other executives that have now joined. Honorable Member Vincent, I cannot answer conclusively on all of them. I can recall for a few that most of them are, to the best of my knowledge, are outside the employer of the state. There could be one or two that are, or when they left, were going to the employer of the state. But I would prefer to maybe submit that in writing so that we submit adequate information, because I may also not be able to remember everything at the moment. The expenses, Member Vincent, on page 50, it's true. One of the things that, as I said, the CETA had not been doing things right and had not been doing some of the most basic things that we need to do, that we needed to do to ensure that we at least try and do things right. So an example, one thing that comes to mind on advertising is advertising for positions as we were recruiting and trying to build capacity in the organization. Prior to the CETA being placed under administration, which is contributed to why it got to the state that it was in, is because there was hardly any recruitment taking place. There were the same people, not highly skilled, very few in numbers, but that was the situation. They had been done the CFO, maybe my colleagues from the AG can assist me, but for no less than 3 years by the time we had. So it's such things as well as your normal other things when you're trying to do, when you're procuring services, you have to advertise, especially for tenders. So in terms of the rest of the detail as to what went in there, if required, we could provide it, but that's the type of thing that as we're trying to normalize the organization, And you did not respond, I think, workshops, you said to workshops. One of the things that had, there were two things that again come to mind as being big cause I was under that type of thing. The first one, stakeholder engagement. When we came to the theater, in consultation with both people internal to the organization as well as stakeholders, organization, FALGA is the employer body at the theater. Their view, and that many others, was that this local government theater has become so, for want of a better expression, has become so useless, so irrelevant to us, that even if it was closed shop tomorrow, we're not going to miss it. That's what at least one stakeholder said. And it became a very important part of the work that we were there to do, to bring the theater back to its stakeholders, to its constituency. I'm sure I don't need to preach to the committee members about the importance of the work of the theater, and in particular, the sector that will support local government. So indeed, right or wrong, I continue to believe that it was correct. We spent a lot of time and money, unfortunately, cost money, going to provinces, doing roadshows, going and talking to stakeholders, going and telling our vision to them, what we are trying to make of the theater, because a big part of what makes the system to work is what they need to do to participate in the level of the theater, to apply for grants, to ensure compliance and all those things. And my simple message to them was always that we can fix the organization to become speak and span and to have the best processes and for it to work. But if you are fellow stakeholders, in particular municipalities, are not playing your part, the system as a whole, now the system and the core function of the system is providing training for them, is still not going to work. So that's the one big part on workshop. The second one was internally in the organization to ensure the theater has got six of internal offices. One of the biggest complaints, even before I came to the theater, the provincial managers of the theater had already approached the ministry complaining. In fact, they were in support of it being placed under administration because the theater was at the time so badly managed that the provincial managers were not part of the organization. So you could not, you would have a set plan that Parliament would approve and all of that, and they would say they are seeing it for the first time when it becomes public. So you then had to start to normalize the situation and have many meetings, standing meetings, selling what we are trying to do, as well as actual doing, where you bring even provincial managers, regular three monthly staff meetings. So that also contributed to the dump, because those are, we believed at the time, I continue to, that things that should happen normally. You should have at least monthly or bi-monthly meetings with your provincial managers, but they've not been happening before, so it was low. Those types of things as part of normalizing how the organization functions. I spoke to consultants. The issue of legal fees, again, as part of consultants, if you will. The first answer is yes, it's definitely a platform. I'm an official here. It's definitely a platform. And the cases that that we took up, as I said, most of the issues, there are a significant number of them who are or who were cases with service providers to the organization. Most of those did not end up going to court, although some we have received them and were served with summons, but they ended up not proceeding. In cases and Kumbuga, there's the two that we have been long been served with summons, but there doesn't seem to be any movement. Then the third one, again, is not even a matter with us. It's a tripartite, a service provider, a university, where a consortium. We funded the program. They are supposed to prove us that they are still a consortium for us to effect payment. They fought. They are no longer a consortium. So each of the parties are trying to get us to pay them, and we are saying that is the breach of the contract we have with you guys. That one always ongoing. So I'm saying there were a few of those, but the bulk of this type of work are the labor relations matters we have to deal with. And the simple answer is that we have not lost a single one of them. All of them, we took them through the normal process of the organization. We took them through the CCMA. And all of them, we have successfully won. There is one that now has been served, that has been referred to the Labor Court for review, and we are still confident that even that we are going to win is at the Labor Court. So the simple answer is that all the legal work that we have done, we have received bail for the public money.
Okay, thank you.
Congressman.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's a right to what Honorable Smith has asked. On the contingency liabilities, the one that you just spoke of, I'm just not sure. Maybe if you can turn to page 75.
75, yes. Yeah, into the notes of the accounting officer. It's there are three mentioned areas where you had claims, litigation, and guarantee. You can see, and below there are reasons. But the third one is Murray and Roberts. There's no reason. And what worries us is when it say a consultation with our legal representative indicates that at the end of the financial year, it was not clear as to whether these liabilities were going to be incurred. And then you come again to point 29. These are the amount of leave overpayment to employees who have either left the LG sector. And the reason is the system by the service provider. Changes made on the system by the service provider management. And we're still exploring ways and means to recover the overpayment amount. It's really not convincing.
One of the questions I was going to ask to the administrator is if you can arrange the action plan and implementation plan and the performance you're going to be doing it. If that is on fire, but since you've been training the new CEO, the compliance with legislation, the financial statements, and the annual performance report contain misstatements that were not corrected. Are you ready to make sure that you do not have these misstatements going forward as the new CFO? Do you have control?
Yes, CEO.
Yeah, CEO. Thanks, Kulhlengo. Do you have control measures regarding discipline? Are you ready to do what you've been trained to do?
I hear the administrator says we're working with a team. So since then I take it back to the issues of leadership raised on page 47, particularly item 35. Management does not implement controls over daily, monthly processing and reconciling of transactions. This resulted in considerable efforts at year end to correct financial statements, which still did not yield the desired results of a clean audit outcome. So at the very end of the process, there is a mad rush of some sort. I take cold comfort in that, in saying that there was a team and that it, then even the efforts at that very end still did not yield this result. So that's why I highlight this issue, a concern of sustainability. If the due processes are going to be thoroughly observed only at the end of the process, what is happening throughout the year? The AG says that implement controls were not done, the overdated monthly processing reconciling of transactions. I'm just worried about that particular thing in conjunction with all the other errors which I have
reflected. Yes, complete.
Thank you, Chair. I think all of us, the concern is with the skilling and training of our people out there. If you look at the local government sector, it is in the dire shortage of the qualified personnel with scarce and critical achievement skills. To be honest, this sector, the every sector, is unable to execute its mandate, specifically on the training and development of personnel in the sector. You look at the targets that they have set for themselves, there is underachievement in all programs. Chairperson Black, she says that you know, when the administrator was appointed, there was a belief that there was going to be an improvement in terms of, you know, the achievement and the functioning of the sector. I would like the administrator to share with us what turnaround strategy, because I think they have realized that some of the things that they have done were not working because the achievement is still bad. What is the turnaround strategy? Thank you.
All right. Yes, great.
On somebody has talked about the leave liability, and so it's a liability or asset. It's probably a leave asset, yes, on page 75, because it's leave due to you, isn't it? Money due to you because you're overpaid. But embodied as a leave liability. But that's not the issue, Chair. The event after the balance sheet indicates that the service provider is willing to pay 30% of the losses. And you say that you are in all likelihood going to get to that's no 30. 12,000 Rand of the 23,000 Rand is after balance sheet as a gesture of goodwill. And in all likelihood going to pay. I'm just curious here, if on the previous paragraph we say the fault was due to the service provider, categorically say it was due to the service provider. The next paragraph we say, well, this service provider has said, I've made a fault, but I'm only going to give you 50%, we must accept it. Why? Why must we accept 50% unless you are not being honest with us in saying that it's a service provider's fault, unless there's a dispute or some sort. So it's either there's a dispute and it's prepared to meet us halfway, but if it is fault, then I think we must go back and get the other 50%. We can't make a mistake and then we must accept to take 50% of the responsibility. I'm just wondering why it's even the thought of giving him a discount for the mistakes that he's made and costing us 24,000 Rand.
I'm struggling to see, as you can see. That's 23,000.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And it's willing to pay 12,000.
All right. Just lastly, Comrade Kuno, before the response.
Thanks, Chairperson. The consultancy fees were increased up to, you said, 8. And there are warm bodies. There were warm bodies within LGC who are also being paid to do what the consultants are coming to do in the entity. Is that value for money, according to you, administrator? Are these people going to get performance bonuses at the end of the year? Or what's going to happen since you have some consultants who are doing what they are paid to do? Thanks.
All right, can we get a response? You said who Ms. Gugu, that is a position?
Who Ms. Gugu Lame is now the appointed CEO of the LGCITA, so she will lead the LGCITA henceforth. And in fact, maybe I must start with that question. I know it was directed at her and I'm sure she's going to comment, but I want her to start.
All right, if your Gugu is as good as our Gugu,
I just wanted to say, Honourable Member, I said that Ukuku, we have a lot of overlap for continuity and handover. I did not know I was saying that Ukuku is a highly competent, highly experienced CEO, has been CEO a number of times before in bigger organizations than the LGC. So I generally think that the seat has been good hands under her leadership. She joined us on the 4th of May.
So how do you appoint a CFO in May, but you can't appoint a CFO?
It's not impossible, Chair, as we were lucky even with her, but generally most people are, and I don't want to speak for her, I'm sure she has reason why she put her hand up. The fortunate thing about it is that she had been working for herself, and that's why she was able to take on.
That's fine. Let's go back to the question.
Thank you, Chair. I will ask the CFO, Mr. Nkize, to please comment on the leave issues, and then if I need to still come back after his base, I think I want to do that. Oh yeah, so the question of misstatements was related to, we do believe, as we established here, on including on the action plan that we have submitted, we do believe that, one, we have now corrected all things that were, and this issue of leave is one of them, all issues that were wrong and had to be misstated before, you know, to look back. We do believe that with this latest effort, working with the Deloitte, and all that, we do believe that we've corrected things now, that the books of the LGBT, everything, one, has been corrected, and from what I said earlier about skills transfer and working together, we do believe that, and under good leadership, moving forward, it will not recur. I mean, I don't want to repeat too much. So the issue of misstatements and other things, I really do not believe that, and we are now in that process again with the AG. We are now undergoing an audit, and all indications, we can't pronounce upfront, but all indications are that indeed, as we believe so, they also seem to be getting some comfort about how far we have come. Remember, then, on the issue of management was not responding, and was that on page 44, it relates to what I said earlier on. This is, and again, without wanting to shift the blame, but fully accepting responsibility for everything. But this specifically relates to the finance team and the leadership thereof that was there before we had Mr. Mkhize, which I said, after lots of interactions and trying to support and trying to assist, I not being a finance person but having this responsibility to oversee everything that is happening, and sometimes even getting, I mean, one of the things, it came strongly in the presentation of the TCTA from the members. One of the things was the weekly reconciliations. Bank reconciliations. They featured very prominently in our previous slides, and no one could understand. The AG was just not understanding, why are we not doing this? I was trying to understand from the team, why are we not doing this? But it was not being done. There were thousands of stories why it was not being done, including blaming the system, that the system that we have does not allow us to do this and that. But when these competent people who know how to do it came, it is not being done. So it's part of those challenges that were there that led to the termination of those contracts of those people. And I don't want to repeat myself, but I also don't want to shift the blame. After all those engagements, it's what led to the way we are now, which is now doing the right things that we are supposed to be doing, and having the right people with the right skills who are busy transferring those skills to our people. I agree, I apologize for the name of the member, about the importance. That's why I keep saying that this CETA, and that was my message to the sector when I first came here, is so important. All CETAs are important. All the work of youth development is of utmost importance. But if the one sector or sphere of government that is in dire need of what CETAs are supposed to be doing, it is this CETA. So it is completely inconceivable or untenable, inexcusable that we would not be, that the CETA is not doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we agree that it has not been doing what it was supposed to be doing. And that's why I'm sure even from the side of the department and the executive authority, ultimately seeing all things or the space that it was in and all the things that were going on, a decision was then taken to place under administration. So we agree that it has not been doing it. We do believe that some outstanding things or some still weaknesses remaining, notwithstanding, but by and large, we have now turned it around. If we look at, and we can't speak about it because it is yet to be audited, and still it is not perfect, but the performance that the AG is now auditing as of end of financial year 2015 is far better than what is here, because we spent a lot of time in this financial year putting plans and systems and things in place to make sure that when we do start doing what we're supposed to be doing, we don't end up with the other problems that we had of not being able to account for things. So naturally, the performance was not good. It is still not 100% today, Honorable Chair, but it is far better than what it was here. And the turnaround strategy really revolved around building capacity in the organization, bringing the right levels of the right people with the right levels of skills, putting processes and systems in place and attending to issues of governance, putting policies that govern everything we do, and ensuring that we do this, we put these controls in place. And of course, the other part of it were all the other things about performance management in the organization, and then the IT side of things that makes us efficient. Those are all the things that we have attended to. In some areas, we are still busy with those things, as I said, on IT. In most of the other areas, on governance, on policies, on recruitment, most of those things have by and large been done. And I think the state of the organization today is far better than what it was when we put this in place. The last question before Member Vincent's question, which I asked Mkhize to also comment on. As I explained earlier on, consultancy fees did and had to increase for the reasons that I explained, because there were just not enough people and you had a limited time, because administration by very nature is limited in terms of time. Not in all instances where you had a consultant and you had an LGCTA person. In fact, I think there would have been very few of those, because as I said, even after adopting this structure, we had not even yet fully populated it when we then had to bring other people to come and assist. So in some areas, consultants were doing work when there was no one to do the work. And in other ways, you could not avoid it. Consultants were working with those people, transferring the skills to those people. And I would like you to comment on this, because
your cost of employment increased by almost 10 million.
The cost of employment would share, as I said, because we adopted this organogram that is there. And I don't know if we can circulate to the committee the one that was there before to show the numbers. But we really then started recruiting people. So over and above consultants, we were then bringing people to come and take over and phase out the consultants. So recruitment alone jumped, you know, through the roof, because we had to formalization of the organization as part also of then ensuring that we don't run and leave consultants to run but not with capacity in the organization. So that one did increase, yes, because there was just a very little capacity. In terms of numbers, if you were to compare, I don't have the numbers, but it's information can provide. We had to recruit people into the organization. Mkhize, can you please comment on this thing?
Through you, Chair, there was a question on post-balanced events relating to an undertaking purportedly made by a service provider. We did make a follow-up on that, and we found more evidence of such undertaking. So we abandoned the issue, and the focus was there to go back and fix what was wrong with the leave module system so that...
So who has put this undertaking in the annual report? I'm expecting a response from the administration. If saying they did an investigation, there is no such undertaking, again, the annual report, who has put that in?
Okay, thank you, sir. I was hoping you would comment on the accuracy of the number. I think that's what we wanted to clarify. Perhaps I misunderstood of the actual number in terms of what is owed. But in terms of the undertaking, that is, or the information that is in the annual report, again, sir, without sounding funny, I ultimately have to take responsibility for all the content that is here. The different managers, of course, who were heading the different units, as shown on the annual report, are the ones who would have, you know, compiled. We were in terms of compiling the annual report, we all contributed our different sections. So it's unfortunate that it ended up here if it's not accurate.
No, that's fine. Maybe let him continue, because the question from Colette mentioned to us, if the service provider committed the error and failed to correct that as a gesture of goodwill to pay 50%, why do we allow that? Why don't he pay back 100%? So if there was not even an offer, what was there and what has happened
subsequently? As I was explaining, Chair, we did follow up whether there was such an undertaking. The intention was to try to recover the full amount. There would be no point in accepting 50% capability if the error of the funds is not ours. As I said, we could not find anything in writing, and we could not pursue it beyond that point. Our focus was then to go and correct the lead module on the system to make sure that the nature and extent of the error that happened does not recur in the future, which we have successfully concluded. And that was our intervention on the issue.
Thanks for that. So in essence, what you're saying is that in this current financial year end, we'll have a staff debt write-off of 24,000. Is that what you're saying to us? Because my question really is, if we've overpaid, can we recover that money? Because these people are not dead, aren't they? They're not dead, they are alive. Or if you're saying to us that it is not worth chasing 24,000 rand for the legal cost that is going to be. Say that to us, because then it means that this will be a stamp debt that will be written off because you are going to recover it. Either going to recover it from the service provider or from the home police. The question that I'm asking you, is there any chance of the state recovering this money, or must we suck ourselves up for a stamp debt write-off? That's the simple question that I'm asking.
Through you, Chair, at the conclusion of the very financial year, there was no letter either potential recovering money from service provider or from the employee. So, in essence, the rights office already happened because we did not take any step to follow it up. But the question is, are there still chances of us recovering that money? It's something that you will pursue.
No. You have let that pass.
If Deloitte has problems, they can't even keep records, and they're coming into government to try and help them do what they're supposed to be doing. But interestingly, Chairperson, I just want to find out what administrator, after this, where are you going?
Thank you, Member. I was really not expecting that question, Chair. I have not finalized my plans. I am exploring a few options, so I'm not able to say conclusively where I'm going. I doubt I'll be a consultant, but it's not an impossibility, Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. My follow-up question is still on the leave overpayment. I'm not convinced by the response, because what is written here, number 29, is that the management is still exploring ways. And they responded to that with something that is passed. And when passed, but here in terms of what is written, which you own, administrator that you have signed, and when you come here, it's something that you have passed, really. I'm just trying to think, how are we dealing with issues of money? And while we're talking about issues of service, we're talking about consultants. We've paid someone to do a wrong job, and we made a deal with that particular person or particular service provider that a half amount will be met. The most important question that I want to ask, I would like to know, who's the service provider? Can we get a name? And if the right at what Honorable Smith is saying, that these people are here, and they can still find them. They can pay. I have no instances where I was overpaid. Next month, that money was taken from my salary. It has happened to me. And I think it has happened to most of us. Why it was so difficult for us to be able to recover this money? And I've asked the question in terms of Murray and Roberts. What were the reasons in terms of the explanation of why there's a liability, contingent liability? Thank you.
Let's respond to these two questions.
Thank you, sir. In terms of Murray and Roberts, I honestly would have to go back and get some information. I'm not sure, Mr. Kidd, if you are in a ready position to answer, but I would undertake to provide that information. I know the other two, and really these are some of the service providers that I spoke about that had done well for the city, that when we got there, there were problems, in fact, identified by the AG of how they had been contracted, and then we stopped with those contracts. So the other two I know, I remember already, they are the ones that I referred to earlier on. I don't want to mislead and say something about Marie and Robert. I would request to get more information on that. In terms of the leave things, when I said I've been hoping CFO would comment, I thought on the accuracy of the numbers, because it's something that we have numbers, the overpayments that are stated.
The numbers that we're looking at here might be accurate.
No, Chef. Not necessarily, but remember, this which we are presenting, which was as of 31st March, in itself, which is why it was a qualification, had some difficulties. When this team came, they reviewed a lot of things, including this.
We're saying the same thing, that yes, this figure might be wrong or are wrong.
Well, I think the finding, let me not get myself in trouble for saying what I'm not meaning to say. The finding by Auditor General was that the financial statements had difficulty, they were not prepared according to the right standards and all of that, which meant, and that's why I was at pains to explain that, undesirable as it was, I had to get the services of Deloitte to assist. So that's what they found, that not in some respects, we were unable to do the numbers right. And I'm hoping that I'm saying what the Auditor General has already said. So I'm saying...
No, it's fine. I think in this particular instance, there are two numbers.
Yes.
One is the leave date, and the second one is the correct date. So either get the leave date wrong, or the actual value of this case, like say the current value is 21,000. Actually, it was 79,000, so you were wrong. It's either of those two. I'm just saying, let's not throw it very wide.
No. That's fine. So I'm saying that what happened was when I was conferring with him, I misunderstood what he was saying. Then he said, this is wrong. And then when he explained that he was referring to the commitment that was made, I misunderstood him to saying that some of the numbers are wrong, which was not the case.
He was talking about
the commitment, that's what I was saying. So when I rose to say, I asked him to speak, I thought he was saying the numbers are wrong, but that's not what he was saying. He explained that that's not what he was saying.
And then Moraine Roberts, we need, can we get an explanation? I mean, I'm really surprised that through your system, this was able to pass without anyone detecting it. It can't be correct.
Through you, Chair, consistent with what Administrator said in terms of us providing details, but this related to a transaction between the CETA and Mary Roberts in the past, of which the details I don't have in my disposal, which is what we are going to, but what that transaction required was a guarantee from ALG CETA, which has been subsequently released, because at the end of the current financial year, our bank confirmation did not have a guarantee from Mary Roberts, which was the case in the previous year. So as to why was it required, that's information that the government has to supply.
No, that's... I think given that information, all we're saying is that it was supposed to be here in the annual report. Comrade Knopf?
As part of the report that the administrator is going to send to Parliament before he approves, we need to know who your service providers are. The next waiter, the local consultants and service providers, their expense dates and all that. But again, we need a proper report on your legal fees. Who are you paying? And why did we have those legal fees? They've been increased. You know, I don't want to go back to what Honorable Vincent Smith said earlier on. We want to know why are we paying all these legal fees. We need to have a proper report. Thanks, Chair.
All right.
That's
fine. Wow. Alright, although I'm not sure, I thought they did speak on the legal fee. Who was being paid? Okay, that's fine. Just it's legal fee. Comrade Chilwane?
Thank you, Chairperson. I can't remember the page. But I wanted to talk about one of my favorites, but it's not a question this time, compliance with the legislation. When I was just going through the report of the AG, it says they've complied with all the legislation.
So I wanted to just comment. It's one of my favorites. I always go into it, but I think in this report, the AG says he has complied with all the legislation. Just wanted to say, you'll echo my sentiments.
I'm still thinking if indeed they should get that crazy. There is something wrong I'm looking for. I'm not sure. I don't know what I'm looking for.
At the present moment from the standpoint of the department. and we gladly account every time we are called to do so, not shying away from our areas of responsibility, but also making challenges to be quite clear that we need to address. So the end is not without challenges, but the point I'm making, but we do our level best in ensuring that we account to the committee, parliament, and to the public at large. Thank you very much.
All right. I think at the end of the day, it is one to see the status functioning optimally. So see the first one, there was a problem of resources. This one, I don't hear any problem of resources. Instead, we have a lot of consultants. You see? So I'm saying therefore that your oversight responsibility on the future has to strengthen. You deploy your CFO to assist full time, it is still there, but we have employed him as a CFO. So as some of the design of Deloitte, maybe we can love government to be public servant. Because we are part challenges, we are too much to lie. All right, comrades, thanks very much. Auditor General, National Treasurer, Real Level, Kamuso, all the way.